It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back. This is this podcast is beautiful, man. Where we review anime, talk that shit. Do our thing. We got Rob here.
Hey, what up?
We got Ice here.
You know what it is.
Say your line, get it out the way.
Oh, you know what it is. It's the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Neither the rest of us agree nor disagree with that statement.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then we got Brennan's bitch ass back.
Everybody, the fans agree with it, though.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, man?
I thought they weren't fans. I thought
they're
were
family.
Fans.
Excuse
they're
me.
Family.
Oh,
I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you were just family. Disrespecting what you said earlier.
No, I did.
They're family. Yeah, I listened to the last episode.
For the first time ever.
Y'all's coming at motherfuckers. I see that. I see y'all coming at people.
Here's
huh?
the thing. There's no anytime anybody misses an episode, besides like Rob, I guess, and he's gonna be getting the smoke from now on too.
I imagine so. I didn't think that was gonna last forever.
I understand. If I miss an episode, even when I miss an episode for some real shit, I'm just like, I don't even know if I listen to it, but I'm like, I expect to get.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
To lit up.
This is our holiday episode.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You got us gifts?
I got you guys gifts.
Goodness gracious.
So, listen.
Me.
There are mystery gifts. They're from My Hero Academia.
Oh, snap.
Wait. So, you guys each pick one. You guys each pick one. Yeah. I bought them at a Japanese store.
It was dope.
And they're all keychains. The one I got was Eraserhead.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
That's dope.
Y'all talked about him last episode, too.
Yeah, I like
he's
him.
My favorite character. That's who I got.
I don't like that at all.
I got him somewhere.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. Y'all talking shit about me. This is how I come back.
Who'd you get,
Rob? This is how I come back.
Oh, wow.
Todoroki. You got Todoroki. Oh, you bad. I'm about to crazy, dog. I'm about to crazy, man.
What'd you get?
I got Todoroki too.
Oh, you got the fire side of Todoroki. That's dope. I got ice.
Oh, you got the ice side.
Oh, yes. Let's get it. Oh, wait. Ice wants that one. Ice wants that one. But let's see what ice. Oh, please let it be something bad. Please let it be something bad.
The fucking perv. What's his name?
I hope it's a little dude with the, like, yeah, the perv.
Oh,
that'd be so funny. Oh, I would die.
I just put a bunch of Vaseline on my hands.
Slipping and sliding all over the packaging.
God, that'd be funny.
Oh, I got the class rep.
Oh, that's cool. That's all right. Cool. I don't like him, but I'm happy, okay. Whatever.
I don't want to cool look. Him,
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
That's
I got my man again. I'm so happy. Look at this, dog.
That's hard.
That's dope. That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brennan.
Yeah, I appreciate
that's
it.
Very
man.
Nice.
Merry Christmas, Phil.
I'll say this.
I got this. I collect them. So I got him. I got Sale. I got Todoroki, too. I got
I will say this. Goku. This does exempt Brennan from my birthday cake. But these two motherfuckers.
Woo!
Yeah, these two motherfuckers and Cam.
Yeah, I can't.
Huh? We didn't know when your birthday was. You didn't say anything.
We had no
and you
idea.
Had you literally ate the most birthday
you
cake here, Cam.
You don't watch the show, Cam. Cam, what is this person's name? Exactly.
He just said it. We
literally just said it. You have headphones on. See, that's why I can't. I even thought about it. It's funny. I actually was like, maybe I should get one for Cam, too. I'm like, he won't appreciate this.
No. I don't even know.
So, either way.
Brennan, I appreciate you, and I'm so glad I got my favorite character, because when I saw him pull out Todoroki, I was like, fuck! I said, immediately, I'm trading Rob. I don't know.
I was prepared to make that trade. I was like,
I appreciate you,
bro. That's pretty cool.
You
got the fire, and you got the ice. That's
unless you got the dude with the purple ball.
Ice, if you would have got the ice on, that would have been perfect.
Yeah,
that would have been lit.
Yeah, I would have been.
And Rob, honestly, Rob getting the class rep would have made sense to me, because the personality kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
Do you feel like, for My Hero, do you feel like that's his character?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, not his like, not the one he would pick, but it's like which character is Rob? Definitely class rep. Rob is about rules.
Who is Keenan?
Yeah, because I was saying we'll get to Tokyo Ghoul in a second. But who do you feel like everybody is? I know you. This is your favorite anime, so
yeah, it is
you
my favorite
like?
Anime.
Who don't you want me to say better? Yeah,
Ice is Bakugo.
No way.
And
no, Bakugo. He doesn't get
huh?
Why say Bakugo?
It's not about temper. It's more so about logic.
No.
Mm-mm.
You know what
no
I'm saying?
Way. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's like he'd be Bakugo because Bakugo would be getting mad about shit that don't really make sense. And Ice be getting on about shit that don't really make sense all the time. So it's
you
like,
know what?
Bakugo is the least logical person in the show. So
but
Ice is the least logical person in our podcast.
I come with facts for everything that I say.
So. Right. I'm sure you do.
Debatable.
But so
that, damn.
I still haven't been proved wrong
and
with
for
anything.
You, Keenan, I would actually say, I should know his name. He's the new guy that's like intangible.
The dude that kind of looks like
Like All Might. Like he was supposed to be the other All Might.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be for All Might's assistant. Picked him as the next.
Yeah, I would pick him for you because of his work ethic.
Okay.
Is that like as I've met you, I've known you like for like as a comic.
Yeah.
And seeing what you like, you worked at Best Buy, I think, or Home Depot.
Home Depot, yeah.
When I first met you, and your hustle was just undeniable from where you were there then to where you are now. Like you put 110% in, and you never really looked back. And that's kind of what he had to do too. If you look at his struggle and what he went through, it's kind of similar. So like that's why not necessarily the power, necessarily the personality. Just like you're just like what would for me it's like I think about like what the key points of those person's personalities are versus what your guys' key points are, and then you ask me a question. So
fucking stupid.
Let's move on.
yo. First of all, Brent is on a roll today. Mm-hmm. I got my favorite goddamn character. He gave me a huge compliment with this. So I like that dude, man. Because I don't know if you guys are caught up or not, but I like that dude.
Yeah, he's dope.
I like him.
I'm a couple episodes behind, I think.
Yeah, man. And
well, I mean, but you know who he is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who whooped the entire UA's class ass by himself.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, y'all, okay, y'all don't understand who I am, so let me show you.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know there was a villain that could do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe All for One, you know, but he showed up and just destroyed everybody.
All for One is a hoe. This new dude just exploding people might be giving people a problem.
He's terrifying.
He's dope.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Crazy.
Terrifying. Yeah. But exploding, and then, oh, wait, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
No, his power is deconstruction and reconstruction. So, like, he can completely dissolve you, but then he can bring you back or bring something back. Like, there's a table.
I didn't see the last episode, but I knew something was going on.
Last episode, you learned a lot about his powers. I'll say that.
He's been dope. Yeah. It's funny because I was looking at Ice's face when you're telling me this, and I was getting teary-eyed, but I saw Ice being like, man, fuck all this shit, man. His face was just like, I couldn't even enjoy it anymore because I looked at Ice. He's like, man, I don't need none of this.
Well, it's funny because it's like, right, I did shots. I gave shots. Yeah. I gave, like, baseline because it wasn't really a compliment or a non-compliment for Rob.
It wasn't either.
It wasn't like a diss or a compliment. Yeah. Like, but he also couldn't argue with it because it's like, Rob does like rules. He does like routine, and he likes structure. Sure.
I know you guys aren't about that guy, but I kind of like him.
I know you do. I know you do. Yeah. So you can't say shit.
No. And your logic makes sense from how you picked it. It wasn't like when you said Bakugo at first, I was like, I don't get that shit at all. But then I see where your logic came from. Who would you feel like Brennan is? Go ahead, Ice.
I know Ice wants to run. Right?
You can go ahead and get your
Ice the perv guy.
You fucking right. You fucking perv.
After that whole fucking V2 argument on the
episode.
Yeah, I mean,
really it is. I mean, he is if you think about it. The dude... I mean, I ain't going to put him out there like that, but we've had conversations outside of this podcast.
We don't discuss anything outside the podcast.
Yeah, so that's why I'll leave it at that.
That's okay. Cameron disagrees wholeheartedly. Hmm. Yeah, what? Cameron wholeheartedly disagrees with your point. Rob, who you got for me?
Honestly, I think it's funny. Before you'd given him to me, I think you could have been that guy because you, I mean, especially with transit, like there's a lot that you do trying to keep shit in order, keep shit in line. If there's like tough shit that's got to be done, it's usually you that's got
to
do it.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to what I fucking say.
What about you, Keenan?
I might give you Mr. Razorhead.
Erazorhead?
Yeah, cuz I feel like I feel like
it's a good pick.
He does that too, but as the teacher, he definitely like, all right, guys, settle down. Let's get you. Like, there's a lot of times, even like whether it's outside the office, us just talking, and you brought me up to the side too, like Keenan. Like, this is where I think you're good at, but you need to focus more, and you need to just do this. If you focus on doing this, I think everything will be good. So I feel like that's more of how he kind of is. He's kind of like, yo, y'all, like as a teacher in the sense of like, buckle down, get the shit done, chill. Don't just jump off the window like that. We're going to get it done. Just like get it done. So I have to give you a raise for
that. I appreciate that. And you know what's funny? Yeah. It's like this is a great example of like karma or like the energy you put out, the energy you get. You know what I'm saying? Like I gave Keenan a high compliment. Keenan came back with it. Uh-huh. Like Rob was just like, oh, you going to meet me in the middle of the road? Guess where we at?
Middle of the road, bro.
Ice over here is like,
I don't take no fucking higher ground.
No. Ice is full on petty right now.
We also go low.
And I would kind of give you.
Here, let me just add a little bit more of why Bakugo works for Ice so he can feel better.
I don't want it.
But Bakugo's dope.
Another reason why it will be Bakugo is because Bakugo is probably the most athletically prone person in the entire class. And that is also Ice. Ice was D1 athlete. Mm-hmm. Ice is naturally very gifted physically, and that's what he's used to get a lot of what he's gotten before he got into the professional career.
Even still in comedy, he literally uses his legs.
Yes, like, that's what I'm saying. So it's like Bakugo like has the best reflexes, has one of the most best innate
that's
quirks.
True. As for a runner, actually, that's a great one for you to have.
That was, I thought.
Yeah. So there you go, Ice.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm still the the purple guy. Sure.
Of course,
yeah,
100%.
That's fine.
100%.
All right, y'all, man. We're going to jump into Tokyo Ghoul. We're going to end this first season off. Episodes 9 through 12.
Yeah.
Let's do it, Rob.
Pissed.
Let's jump, jump into it.
Ice is in his feelings.
Because we didn't know.
I literally just gave you a gift, bro.
You know I'm good. I'm just fucking with you. But, like, I'm pissed about, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Just the show. Just because. Yeah. I watched all of this at one personal. Time.
Right.
Yeah. No, bro.
And it makes perfect sense because I literally when I'm watching it on Funimation, like I was pushing next. I wasn't seeing the scroll that it was end of season one.
Oh, yeah. Hey guys, last real quick, if you don't mind, for all the people who are actually not tuning in for this on our podcast on our YouTube channel, can everybody hold up their the GIF I gave them right now so you can see it in the cameras? So if you guys, we also put release every episode as a YouTube. So if you go to our YouTube right now, it's Animation YouTube. Right now, we're showing you all the gifts that I brought everybody.
Let them go first. They block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You should do it to the camera across because there's no way you're in focus that close, Rob.
Yeah.
So, like, turn it this way. There you go. Yeah. Same thing. Turn it. There you go.
Yeah, that's what I did. I thought, okay.
Me and Keenan, there they are. Mine's the best.
Little Iceman.
You going to block us right now?
You going to block us? You got some hoes? All right, cool. We said we're going to go after y'all, and y'all still, okay, whatever. But back to what we're saying is that watching it in blocks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we kind of thought that the first season would go longer, I guess, in the sense we weren't paying attention. But this is actually the end of first season, 9 through 12.
Yeah.
Let's do it, Rob, episode 9.
This one starts off with a flashback, actually. We see Eamon on his first day on the job. He's kind of getting his partner assignment, and they're just like, oh, well, you're getting matched up with this Mato dude. Mm. He's kind of crazy. But good at his job, you know, so keep an eye on him. You'll learn a lot if you can, you know, stay wary. They go, he's actually on the case of this person that they're calling the apple-headed ghoul that has, like, all these different, all these, like, murders on their hands. He's like,
I'm so sorry, Rob. Just really quick.
Oh, what's up?
I don't even see, but I see your face.
Fuck you, Ice. Fuck you. He's petty. He posts some shit about me on Instagram while we're here recording.
Being a
dick. But go ahead. Please continue, you little dick.
Yep.
God damn it. You fucking.
Live
right,
looking.
Animation podcast.
So he's like, this is my Mato's just like, oh, this is my main suspect for the apple-headed ghoul, and it's this old lady. And Eamon's just like, you think it's a 68-year-old woman? He's like, oh, you don't think ghouls get to be 68? Like, you know, like it could be anybody at this point. Like that's the crazy thing about ghouls to me at this point is that they can live completely normal lives, like vampires or something like that.
Semi-normal lives.
You know, other than that, like unless you really are looking, like they can get away with this shit.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
What would, I know nobody's going to remember.
I like the ongoing joke you guys are doing with Rob Robin's coffee.
Yeah,
Rob, how is your coffee?
He's a ghoul.
I finished it.
You finished it?
Of course you did. It had your little cubes in it.
Yeah.
What'd you have for breakfast, Rob?
I had a banana and
Here, Rob, would you like another banana? It's one right here.
You want to eat it on camera?
I would love a banana.
I said I did see Rob go to the bathroom after he ate that banana, too.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be here for another 45 minutes at least, so if he eats this.
We'll see. I'm not really hungry.
Would you like to eat it?
I'm not super hungry at this
time. I bet you're not. That's convenient. That's really convenient, Rob. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
Yeah. So anyway, let me finish the story.
How old are you, Rob?
31.
Oh, okay.
31. We'll see. Is there like a maximum age? Like
No. I mean, you know, you got at least another 30 years. You know,
I guess so. So they go to confront this old lady, and Mato's just like, hey, you know, I took a look at your, you know, thank you for giving me your doctor's note, like getting this physical. And, you know, clearly you couldn't be a ghoul with these kind of numbers. And and she's just like, oh, yeah, no problem, playing the sweet old lady. Like they walk away, and Eamon's just like, you know, what the hell is all that about? He's like, ah, you can forge that shit. No problem. They're like, it's definitely that old lady. Like, I just confirmed my suspicions, if anything. And then he kind of just, like, starts talking shit to Eamon. He's just like, hey, like, what's your kinké? Like, what do you got? Like, what you got in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
And Eamon gets, like, real mad at him about that. Just like, okay, listen, like, if you're not going to take this seriously, like, what the fuck? Like, you're harassing this old lady. Like, you don't take our weapon seriously. Like, you know, he gets fed up. And he goes to help this old lady out. He sees her, like, you know, hauling her groceries.
You cross the street by yourself, Miss Lady?
And he goes to help her out. And they,
hey, man.
Boy Scout forever.
Yeah.
Definitely a boy. He like a Boy Scout motherfucker,
He
man.
Looked like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once they get down that, like, dark tunnel, I was just like, whoop. This is when it's about to happen.
So obvious.
Yeah. And then he's just like, oh, like, man, this is pretty heavy. Like, you know, I can't. What are you hauling in here? And then he looks down and sees, like, blood dripping out of the package.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
She just, she immediately, like, the old lady turns the switch on and she's just like, I am
the applehead ankle.
I loved it.
By the way, Rob's retelling of this has been so good. I don't know if you guys listen to it. Like when he does those voices, I was in it, bro. I was in it listening to the last podcast.
And so like they go, so she comes at him and he's like taking off his guard. I don't even think he has his weapon at this point. But Mato comes around the corner.
No,
just
yeah,
like,
he's blocking it with the box.
Yeah, that's right.
He couldn't get it to open. He couldn't get it to open for some reason.
She dented it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's it. But Mato was, I guess, watching this whole thing. He's just
always
like, see, that was my plan all along. Your inexperience was
factored into my plan.
No, you set his ass. He's a bastard.
He pretty much
was like, I'm willing to let somebody die to get what I got to get.
Oh,
that's how I felt.
Based on what we have seen from this guy before he died in the last episode, this totally lines up.
Yeah.
He's not going to anybody's funerals.
Yeah.
He's just like, nah, another one bites the dust, like another bit of fresh meat. Like, you hang around as long as you can. Don't get attached to your partners, you know? And so he saves him, and this got to have a huge impact on Amon. Like, you know, anybody could be a ghoul. Like, it's a good learning experience. And so that transitions into him being like, you know, standing over his grave, just like, good times.
He's like, he even said, he was like, Mato was like, you're the best bait that I've ever had. You're good, kid. Like, keep it going.
Yeah.
So he actually kind of gave him a compliment and a backhanded compliment.
That was that's a bullshit compliment. Yeah. Like, you lucky you made it out alive, man. You're the best one because you made it out this one. we'll see how this keeps going.
See what happens.
Bruh.
But so he's leaving the cemetery and
I have a question about that.
What's up?
Would you guys want this guy as a mentor? Would you be like, I don't want this guy? Because obviously he doesn't care, but it seems like he's also a really good teacher.
This dude is like fucking J.K. Simmons from Whiplash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those dudes
No, he's not that.
He's going to bring some greatness out of you, but he might fucking kill you.
I don't want it at that expense, though.
Yeah,
I'm good. We got to fight.
Yeah.
We got to fight.
At that point, I feel like once I know that you're willing to use me to get me killed, to get what you got to get, and you don't give a fuck, that means you don't, like, I can't trust you.
No.
I don't think he would have let him get killed.
I don't think he necessarily would have let him, like, in a sense, well, die, now I'll come in. I think he'd be like, whoops, he did. My job got to get done still. Instead of being like, try to save him. Because
he could have came in before she struck him. But I wanted to maybe see, she maybe wanted to see what he was made of.
It could be. Because, I mean, because
she got a few licks in on him.
And back when they fought Toka, like, he was, you know, popped up out of nowhere after that dude got his face sliced in half already. So he might have been like, all right, well, he wasn't shit.
Yeah.
And just kind of let it happen. I don't know. That's all speculative at this point.
Yeah, I guess.
You know how far he was on his.
Oh, Robin, GPS. I feel you on your prediction from last episode about how what's her name? The main.
Oh, Toka.
Yeah, how she killed. Yeah, she might be the one who killed.
Might be the one.
Yeah,
I can see. I mean,
she do be standing off by herself in the distance on top of buildings all the
time. A lot.
And she was seen beforehand, so
she
was with that.
She was at the scene of the crime.
She was.
That's what I believed. I believed that from the beginning. I was like, with her, definitely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's my prediction right now. But so anyway, we see Eamon is at the graveyard, and he runs into another work buddy who I don't think we've met yet. But he kind of tells him, like, you know, sorry for your loss.
Man, let me tell you something. This dude, bro, I'm upset as soon as you step on screen. This is the worst fucking hairpiece.
Oh my God.
I have ever seen in my life.
So bad.
It is terrible. And the fact that in the anime they made it so obvious, like it's a discoloration. Like, It's like his cul-de-sac is so terrible.
Yeah.
That it's like an immediate bald past his widow's peak near his eyebrows. I was just like, for a man that's bald.
It was like a pompadour, but not a bald pompadour. Like, it was so bad.
I don't know what a pompadour is, but
like,
I agree
like
with
you. Like Little Richie. Little Richard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, as a bald dude, I just couldn't. I was just like, bro, just rock the full bald.
Yeah, just embrace it. Yeah.
This shit was, the whole time I was getting, every time he stepped on screen in every episode, I was just like, I can't take this guy seriously.
Hey, he's a beast, though.
He was, but it's just like, I'm sure this shit didn't come off. I was like,
flapping around.
But you got to be a beast with some shit like that on your head.
I guess so, because nobody's going to say anything.
Compensation for it or something.
Yeah, nobody said nothing. I was like, hey, the boss's hairpiece is jacked. Yeah. They were like, oh. Yeah.
But he tells Eamon that this is when he tells him, like, yo, I need you for some work that we're going to be doing in the 11th ward. Like, your business in the 20th ward is wrapped up for now.
Yeah.
But on their way out of the graveyard, they bump shoulders with Mato's wife heading to the I assume his wife heading towards the grave. Mm. And back at the coffee shop, You know, things are kind of moving on. It's been some time. Did they say it'd been like 50 some odd days or something like that at that point?
Something like that, 11 days.
And so they got Toka is now, she's taking care of the little girl, Hashimi, I think, Hanami is her name. And they, she's been taking care of her, taking her in since her parents are gone. But they're dead.
She's a boss.
They got slaughtered.
Yeah. I'm a fan of her.
The little girl?
Hanami, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
she's.
Like when she showed up, she showed up.
Yeah. She did.
She needs it. Yeah, definitely.
And but another thing that that's helping her with her healing process, you know, one day she was out watching the rain. She sees this, you know, little parakeet drop out of nowhere, a little star on his wing. So she's been taking care of this bird. Toka doesn't like the bird too much, it seems like. But
she don't fuck with birds.
No.
Yeah.
No. But
you
the,
know she
the
has
girl.
Wings. Isn't that funny?
Oh, yeah. I suppose that is.
Okay.
Interesting.
Good correlation.
So, yeah, she's been taking care of this bird, and they're you kind of run into them as they're on their way out. And kind of Kaneki is just sort of like going over like, oh, man, it's been some time. Like, everybody's like healed up. Like, we're doing better. Some people are, you know, things are kind of going back to normal before all this stuff happened with the doves and all that. But he still wants to know more about Rize. So he goes back to that bar to talk with the girl with the red hair. Itori is her name. And he's just like, yeah, like, what did you know about her? And she's just like, nobody really knows anything about Rize. She just showed up one day.
From what, the 11th or something?
Yeah, yeah, she's like, she just showed up from the 11th ward.
11th ward.
Yeah, 11, she came from the 11th. She's just like, oh, if you want to know more about her, you should probably go,
Go back to the,
go back
right,
to the 11th
right,
ward
right,
and,
right,
and,
right,
and
right.
See what's up. See what you can find out about her there.
Yeah.
And Kaneki on his way home actually bumped shoulders with somebody.
Yuzo!
And just like, oh, hey, yeah, sorry, we ran into each other there. The guy's, it's like, this person's got like kind of like the Heath Ledger Joker look going to him. Like, you don't really get a good look at their face at this point.
Yeah. And it's very gender fluid, I guess. You don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
I immediately liked her or him. I don't know.
It's him. It's
him. I immediately, I was like, I know whoever this is a fucking piece.
That's my favorite.
That's like the red crosses on
them. Yeah, they're like all stitched up or something.
I thought that person was a ghoul at first.
So did I. Yeah, I was like, oh, who the fuck is this?
That's my favorite character on the show.
Still might be a ghoul.
Something.
My favorite character on the show. He's dope.
Something might
Yuzo is the truth.
I thought it was a girl at first.
Yeah. I mean, they made it seem, I don't know who the voice, well, the voice even actor as a, and I watched it in the dubbed.
Oh,
It's kind of like
thank
a
thank you. Thank you for the eye roll. I meant voice, to eye roll. I just did.
The voice was kind of like still kind of like it's like it sounds like a girl, but it could be just a young boy's voice, sort of.
And a dude even said it later. He was just like, this doesn't give away anything. He was just like, either you're a boy or you're a flat chested woman.
I don't know
which one you are.
But I immediately, as soon as he walked on screen, I was like, he gonna be dope.
Yeah.
Whatever he got to do, he going to be dope.
Yeah. And so he strips Kaneki's wallet right off him.
Yeah.
And he's in the alleyway just like, all right, like, who is this guy?
Kaneki is just, I mean, we get to it, but, like, he's just so, he's so stupid to me. Like, as soon as somebody bumps you, the first thing I always do, pocket check.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody walks near me and I feel like it's too close, I immediately dap all my pockets. I feel like he has no street smarts.
He doesn't.
I feel like he's a bitch most of the
time.
How
do you have no street smarts when you don't have parents and you grow up in the streets?
Bro.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying logically, that could be like that's a plot hole-ish area. You know what I'm saying? It's like how you grow up without parents but not
and
no street
and it
smarts.
can't be a thing in Japan or whatever because they got mad street dudes over there too. So it's definitely not that like it's like a thing where it's like only in America.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, this doesn't make any sense.
But I mean, I guess for writing purposes, he has to be that guy. Because when he turns it on, and it's like, oh, fuck. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, for a writing thing.
He can still have basics. To me, he can still have basic street smarts and then be like, hey, why did that person hit me? Like, what? My damn wallet, they got me. They don't got to be necessarily like, you know, like, yeah, I know the whole hood. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, go ahead.
So he's running. What's the guy's name again?
Juzo.
Juzo's running through the wallet, through Kaneki's wallet. He's just like, oh, like they're same age as me. Like, all right, let's get to the good part. Opens up to the cash. It's just like a few coins come out.
He's like,
who keeps coins in their wallet?
Yeah, that's a good
somebody
question.
Somebody who doesn't have street smarts.
A lot of fucking
you,
coins
Brennan.
At that. A lot. It wasn't like two. He was like dumping coins. Like you just got a fucking. You might have an oddball nickel or silver dollar or some shit like that.
And
maybe.
it came out the cash part where you keep your paper cash.
Yeah.
Right now, Kaneki was one of my most least favorite characters.
going into some of these episodes, to be honest.
Yeah, and he comes in the next day, he's at work, and he's talking with Hide, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I got pickpocketed. Everybody else is, like, mad for him. They're just like, what do you mean you got, like, pickpocketed? You didn't notice?
What the
fuck
is wrong?
He's like, yeah, I didn't even report it, you know? I'm just like, it's not a big deal. Like,
goofy ass.
All right, man. Like, if you say so. He didn't even get to see their face at all. But they hear on the news that, you know, that there's been all this there's been less traffic in the cafe because of all the dove activity that's been going on in the area.
Going out there, it's hot. The block is hot.
It is.
The block is hot. It's coming for me Sunday after me, B.
So everybody's sort of just laying low right now. But what it gets a little tense here, actually, because Hide and Kaneki are talking about, like, the ghouls and stuff. They're talking about there's the story on the news about how, like, they're ramping up active, or, you know, the doves in the CCG are sending more doves into the 11th ward. Mm. And Hide even says something along the lines of, like, oh, man, like, things are getting out of control there. Like, there must be some sort of organization, some ghoul organization here in the 20th ward,
bro,
you know?
Yeah.
And Kaneki starts sweating. Like, yeah. He's immediately like, I don't know what you're talking about. Some organization. That's crazy.
And then he pulls out the book, like, in this book or whatever like that, right?
Yeah, because he's just like, oh, like, where'd you get an idea like that? He's like, oh, I'm reading this book, and they're talking about, like, all the gangs that are in, like, the ghoul gangs in the 3rd ward and all this other stuff. And, like, did you know the ghouls can do this, that, and the other? And so that kind of, like, you know, releases, you know, Kaneki's suspicions for, like, a second. Yeah. But as soon as Hide walks out the door, you see him, like, looking back and, like, this dude's on. He knows what's up.
Yeah. What do you think he knows? Do you think he knows that this is an organization right now? Or do you think, like my boy's off right now?
I think he suspects that Kaneki is a ghoul at this point. Mm. But I don't know if he suspects the cafe.
He 100% suspects all of it. I think he's super aware of everything, and I think there's a deeper plot line here. He's either an investigator, a ghoul himself. There's some.
You think
kind
he's a dove on the low?
He might be a dove, but it's like he's too aware. But he also is choosing to stay close to Kaneki. So I think there's something there. I think there is a possibility he may have been involved or been aware of Kaneki being turned into a ghoul or had something to do with that. Mm. But there's a lot more to him, is what I'm saying. It's like he knows a lot more. And he's letting on. And I think that was more, it wasn't like a test. It was more so like he's trying to let Kaneki know, like, yo, bro, I know you can't directly tell me this, but I'm letting you know right now, you should trust me because I'm on your side.
I was about to ask y'all, do you think you can kill your best friend if he has this information on you like that?
No, I wouldn't kill him. Because if it's my dog, then I'm going to let him ride.
If he knows this shit and he still hasn't done anything about it, that means that he has no ill will.
Yeah, well, I would definitely have to have a talk. Like, yo, so what's your intent with this information? If you just like, bro, like, I want to be on your side. I don't want anything to happen to you, but you have to let me know so I can keep you safe when shit happens.
Mm-hmm. I think this is another letdown of Kaneki's character for me, because in this moment, Kaneki had all the opportunity and even started to investigate further into what this may be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, well, do you have interest in ghouls? And just let it go when he was like, oh, yeah, I read this book. And he's like, okay, because that's what it is. Like, no, you idiot.
You
can't. Like, you think about the different demeanor of how serious he was about what's happening in contemporary events with this, and then also how it changed so quickly and changed the subject. It's like, bro, if you pay attention to a person, you have to understand what they're saying and what they're not saying with their words.
Yeah.
Like a street smarts.
But also too, it may be just he just was just like, let it go. He was more afraid in the moment to divulge, because then it's like one of those situations where you accidentally snitch on yourself and they really was honestly didn't know anything. I feel like it would have had to have been another instance after this for him to be like, oh, okay. Like,
I would have been digging right then and there.
Yeah. I feel like...
No, tell me more.
Yeah, I feel like... I mean, this goes back to Kaneki being a bitch and him having stingy-like tendencies. Go ahead,
Rob. He definitely doesn't have a good poker face. So after Hide leaves, the ghouls are kind of talking about, like, you know, what are we going to do about, like, all this, you know, CCG activity? And there's some of them that are just like, listen, we need to lay low. And then there's that one dude that's like, oh, man, it's going to be war out there. I'm going to be, what does he call himself? The mighty devil gorilla?
Gorilla, yeah, right. I want to see him in action now, talking that shit.
But nobody fucking acknowledges that. Like, they be
no,
like,
it was the best.
Yeah,
like, he says
the
it,
devil
like,
gorilla. And they're like, okay, back to what the fuck we were talking about.
Like we were saying.
Because this dude doesn't even look that old either. Yeah. So, and it kind of like hints at the fact that there may have been like out and out fighting between the ghouls and like the CCG not that long ago before
you
this.
You might just see an appearance from the devil gorilla. Because they was arguing too. Toka and
Nikishi.
Yeah, they was arguing too. And he was like, stop Rinishiki. It before I make the red gorilla, the devil gorilla come out. And it was like,
anyway.
Right, the fuck out of here.
But Kaneki and Toka also have like they have a bit of a moment where they're talking about their families and we find out that, yeah, basically Kaneki's been orphaned, he says, from a super early age. He doesn't remember his dad at all. And he says in that moment that he doesn't even really remember his mom. He's just been on his own until it was like him and Hide hanging out.
Yeah.
And Toka.
That's when she was in there looking at the bird. Right.
That's right. Yeah, because she was staring at the bird, just kind of like, man, I fucking hate this thing. and then the bird starts swearing at her, like calling her a son of a bitch or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think because that's what she says to him, right?
Yeah.
You know how birds repeat them. Yeah.
So, but we see a little flashback into Toka's backstory, and we see that, you know, she was raised by her dad, her mom and dad, and she had a younger brother. Mm. But really what we see in there is that, you know, kind of a loving family.
Yeah.
You know,
her dad was dope.
Yeah. Seemed like a good dude. Yeah. You know, it seems like, I mean, we don't know what his involvement was with, like, what's this guy's name? Yoshimura or the 20th Ward, or like trying to get them involved with, you know, living, coexisting with humanity. Yeah. But you get the idea that they had a pretty peaceful upbringing until something happened at some point. 'Cause clearly shit's not good now.
Yeah.
But after we get that little flashback, and he's kind of saying like, oh, the moment with her father, the father tells her like, oh, you have to, you know, watch over your little brother, and like little brother Ayato, you have to protect your older sister.
Well, because they pretty much, I feel like he was like, yo, your brother's a bitch like me, in a sense. He was like, yo, your brother's afraid of bugs. I'm afraid of bugs.
Worms.
You got worms. Well, I think he said bugs in general. Insect. Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because she doesn't like the bird, seemingly because it reminds her of her childhood, because the story they flash back to is them, like, nursing a sparrow back to health.
Yeah.
It's Firo.
Yeah. So, so after we see that flashback, we get to Hide's out and about in the middle of the night doing something. Out late at night, which if I were somebody living in this society, you wouldn't catch me outside after dark.
No.
Like, no.
And he's just kicking it.
Yeah.
Like, he's big chilling. Like, he has no urgency at all. Just eating a sandwich, just chilling.
Yeah.
I mean, Kaneki, like, I get that because you're a ghoul now. Like, you know, like, his kitchen knife isn't going to do anything to you. But if you're Hide, you're just a dude. Like,
Nah,
I'm not staying out.
Well, the thing is, that's my point, is that there's more to him. That, like, if he knows as much as he knows about ghouls, and still chooses to be outside by himself, then he's not worried, which even goes back to, like, when he got kicked by, what's his name? Like, one of the first.
Nishiki.
Nishio.
Yeah, he almost got killed.
Nishiki. Mm. Yeah, he almost got killed by that. Or did he? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was perfectly fine. Like, he didn't go to the hospital. He got kicked across the whole, you know, whole parking lot.
And after they had that conversation, they closed the door. Like, he opened up his eyes. Like, he was, like, awake for that
conversation. That's what I'm saying. There's something more to him.
You know, for sure.
He's not a human.
He's getting coffee out of this vending machine, you know?
What the fuck?
Because you already know whatever it is. So you just watch this critic stuff.
Yeah, I can't say anything.
I know.
You tell me afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Spoilers.
But he ends up getting a coffee out of this vending machine, and while he's sitting there, two other people pass by him. One of them, like, Jason.
Jason, yeah.
One of them definitely.
And they
Jason.
Didn't even say
him.
They didn't say nothing to him. Like, a human, you're hungry. I assume. I don't know. Unless they just fed.
Especially this Jason dude.
Yeah.
He's a fucking bloodthirsty
and
dude.
And they say nothing to him. They don't even look at him.
That was weird.
Yeah. Mm. But he clocks them and is just sort of like, because he overhears them talking about Rize.
Yeah.
That people are looking for Rize. And of course, he remembers her from the fact that the old buddy used to date her before he got super fucking weird and got this eye patch and a job at this coffee shop that they used just to.
I'm sure he didn't notice any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, all over the 20th Ward, you start to see a bunch of other people starting to pop up. And there's this guy with, like, whose name is Banjo, who's got his crew, like, a bunch of people with gas masks on. And you even see Ayato. This is where he cleans up a bunch of dudes, right?
Yeah, he fucks some people
like,
up.
Like, Ayato is talking about, like, they killed a bunch of people from the CCG, he and some other ghouls. And he's just like, all right, well, we gotta need to find out where Rize is. She's in the 20th Ward, where there's a bunch of, like, peace addicted, fucking ghouls that don't know any better, and one of them happens to be my sister.
Yeah, he takes his mask off,
and he's got the same hair and
purple
eyes.
Rob, is this your camera?
Yeah, it's my camera.
And you have it covered up?
Oh yeah, Mark Zuckerberg has his covered up. He knows something I don't.
Yeah, damn. I got my eyes covered up too.
That's.
I got like a little thing that you can open it.
Yeah,
and
I cover mine too.
And you know what's funny about
talking about laptop cameras?
Yeah, little webcam you have to use
on your iPad, your MacBook.
This dude too, man. He's up my alley when it comes to characters. Toka's brother.
He doesn't look like he fucks around.
Yeah, his new version of him, because he's like he ain't no bitch no more.
Yeah,
no. Well, he ain't afraid of. I mean,
no,
maybe he's afraid of bugs.
I think something happened. Something must have happened with their dad that like forced one of them to go one way and the other to go to the other.
Yeah.
You know?
But they both about the shits. It seems like.
Yeah.
I love
him. I mean, and his Kangui is dope too. Like, it's more defense.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
But it's dope.
Yeah. So
over here sounding like Brennan. Go ahead.
No, I just said it was dope.
You said it's defensive. You pretty much.
So we this next episode starts off kind of hot, like the 11th ward of the CCG, the CCG base in the 11th ward is under full on like attack. Ghouls are going in and like
getting
murdering
they're
people.
Smoking their ass.
There's just like one dude hiding behind a pipe, just like on the phone with like to the director, just like, yeah, we are under attack right now, like they are coming in hot, like we need help. And while he's on the phone with the director, he gets fucking murdered.
If you guys saw this happening, like, are you playing dead? Are you fighting? Or what y'all doing? Like, if you're a dove.
Once you know you're outmanned, I'm not going to be stupid.
Yeah, I'm going to get some blood and rub that shit on me and just lay down. Like,
I'm going to lay down. I'm going to survive this particular instance and be like, all right, we got to regroup, get shit together, come back.
Yeah, because you could have vital information having survived that attack that you could pass along to somebody else. Plus, you probably have seen who some of these ghouls are and be like, oh, yeah, that's the dude.
Shout out to Jiraiya.
I feel you guys, and I'd want to do that, but I feel like my knowledge of ghouls would be a little bit too vast to be able to think that would work. Because, like, you know, they have advanced senses and smells and shit.
Yeah, they do.
So it's like, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that one's still breathing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, all right, well, I guess I'm
going
to go.
They were going
through
slaughtering quickly, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went through and killed them all quick. But I'm just saying, like, if you already, like, if it's not blatantly obvious that you're dead, then it's just like, you know that they're going to, like, I would probably try to run, is my point. It's like, as soon as I see the attack happening and they're, like, sweeping through, I'm like, all right, I'm out. Like, you know, it's like, because wherever they find you, it's like, you're probably not surrounded by dead bodies until they kill you with everyone else around you. So it's not like, it's like this, you know, like, because, you know, that's the way that I think about what you just said is kind of unfortunately the way I think about, like, if there's like a mass shooter or something like that somewhere where I was and they shot certain people around me, then I would just cover myself in blood and pretend like I had already been shot and they won't check because they're focused on a bunch of a million other things. But I don't know if that works for a group of ghouls is my problem.
I don't know, man. As soon as I would have saw on the screen, oh, they murdering motherfuckers, I would have passed out. They were like, Kenny, what you on the floor for? I'm like, I'm not saying shit. I just stayed passed out. Get up, Kenny, off the floor. Move on, dirty. Move on.
Nah, they see that. That's the kind of shit that gets saved, that gets you saved for last. But hey, this one passed out. Well, we get to have fun with this one. Yeah, we're gonna eat this one alive.
The Pulp Fiction, you know? Shit.
That's where Kenny ends up doing that kind of shit.
Hey, man, that's when I bring out my little weapon and be like, well, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm gonna do something, man.
Kenny gonna take the worst of it.
I ain't all right, man.
So after everybody gets killed off at this branch, the CCG, their leaders call an emergency meeting. Just like, yo, the 11th ward is fucking gone. Like, we got to get all the people out of there. It's a full on evacuation at this point. And once we get people out of there, like, we're rolling up in there. Get the tanks. Get the, you know, bulletproof vest. It's a all out attack on the 11th ward to try to get back at these guys.
Yeah.
But while they're in the middle of having this meeting, or they also talk about, it's the Aogiri tree. Is that how you say it?
Arugiri
tree.
Yeah.
Arugiri tree. So it's basically all of the ghouls in the 11th ward have banded together, and they're expecting even the ghouls that operate separately, because there's this like coming together of power. They're
just joining the ranks.
They're just going to join the ranks and take over. I mean, why wouldn't they at that point? Like, if I'm a ghoul and like I see this going on, like, I want in, because then I don't have, if they win, like, I don't have to live in secret anymore. Right. You know?
I'm with you 100%. That's what I would have did as a ghoul.
Yeah. So they're having this meeting talking about, like, all right, basically we're going to wait about a week before we launch this attack because we want to make sure everybody gets out of there, all the people. And they're having this meeting when Juzo walks in.
Juzo.
Starts fucking around. And everybody's like, who the fuck is this kid?
He's like, sorry I'm late, guys. I hope you give your extended apologies to me, please.
Yeah.
This the cadence of this character, and I, like I said, I'm watching it in English. Even the English version, they did a hell of a job.
This dub is fucking amazing.
This dub is, dog. I'm telling you, if you get it, I understand y'all want to watch it in this version, but I said, for me to get through quickly while multitasking.
Yeah, sure.
I enjoyed it. This is one of the best dubs that I have watched in a long time, for sure.
It's really good. They had a lot of intent around it. I feel like they must have done them together.
At the
like
same
it
time?
Wasn't, yeah.
Same like director, same voice acting studio, kind of thing like that.
Yeah, right. Well, I think with this guy, too, because like I said, the Batman guy plays, I feel like he plays like four characters.
Yeah, he does.
And he plays like four dope-ass characters that are like significant, because you can tell the voice. But yeah, go ahead.
So they break up that meeting. They're kind of talking about like, yo, who the fuck is this Juzo character? Turns out he's like handpicked by like the leader to be a part of this whole thing. They call him an investigator third grade, but is that like high or is that low?
That's low.
Okay, so he's like a junior detective that they're like, nah, bring him up with the A-team for some reason. So we haven't seen what we do see a little later why he is the way he's so respected.
Yeah.
But Amon, meanwhile, getting prepared for this attack, is kind of thinking about, you know, how shit went down with Mado and just kind of his relationship with ghouls in general, and even thinking about the conversation he had with Kaneki about, like, you know, why did he spare me? Like,
yeah, why did he tell me to run? Why didn't he want to kill me? Why did he look... He looked tortured by the idea of becoming a murderer kind of thing as a ghoul, which is like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's kind of shaking his foundations of what he understands to be his truths about... About ghouls.
And it reminds him of something, too. A flashback to when he was a kid. When he went back there, he, like, opens the door, and it's just some older guy, I guess some type of relative.
Yeah,
him,
that's right.
And he has a mouth, like, covered in blood, and it sounds... He looks like he's eating, and he turns around, like,
are you not supposed to come in here?
Yeah, I told your ass not to come in here. What I tell you about locked doors? Like, you know, closed doors.
Sound no like more a black
ever heard of knocking? Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Sounds like a black family's house?
Facts.
So he gets snapped back to reality, and one of the guys he's talking with, the dude with the hairpiece, is kind of just like, oh, so I heard your kinkai broke, but, you know, Mado left it in his will that he wanted you to have one of his...
More and more, Mado is becoming a decent human being.
Yeah. He's like, sort of, kind of. He tells him he wanted one of the kinkais that he had in his collection. Apparently, this dude had, like, a whole fucking line of these things.
Yeah. He was collecting, like, pop figures.
Seriously, yeah. So he's just like, oh, there's one specifically that Mado left for you. You should pick that up. Mm. Back at the coffee shop, it's super slow there, but they find the first customers they receive are Banjo and his crew coming in, going and like, yo, like, where's Rize? We heard she was coming here. We heard she was coming to the 20th Ward. Like, she talked about a cafe. This has to be the place. Like, what the fuck is going on? And he immediately finds Kaneki and is just like, you smell like her. What? Tell me what the deal is. Like, why? Who are you to her?
The guy she chose?
Took my bitch.
Yeah. That's what it was. You smell like my girlfriend's perfume. He was...
And he starts swinging at Kaneki.
He's like, hey,
he's just dodging
bro.
That stuff, which is, you know. Headbutts him? Is that kind of what happened?
He's dodging and headbutts him under his chin and knocks him out.
Knocks him out cold.
Yeah.
And when the guy comes to, he's just like, oh, you're a lot stronger than you look. Yeah. Sorry about all that.
I see why she chose you. That's why she's with you, because you're so strong on a low.
You're protecting her.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, it's not like that, when it very much was like that.
Yeah.
It really was, 100%. He was 1,000% into Rize. He was like, yo, what's up, girl?
Yeah. And he's even just like, oh, yeah, I see why she chose you. So, like, where is she? And that's when Toka kind of looks at Kaneki. He's just like,
you say whatever the fuck.
Yeah. He throws hands and walks away.
You say whatever the fuck you want.
I'm out of here.
I respect that.
And Kaneki, like, he kind of bitches out here because he's just like,
he didn't lie.
She's not here.
Gone. Yeah. From here right now. She's not here right now is what she's not. So
like she left.
I thought he would have dug more at the dude about it, but he kind of left it.
Like, yeah, he was kind of like, oh, yeah, because at that point, like, where else was she going to go?
Where'd she go, bro?
Yeah, like, I'd have some follow-up questions. Yeah.
She's not here anymore.
Right.
Like, the fuck is that? What kind of cryptic-ass shit?
I need more.
But before he can ask too many questions, the fucking comes crashing through the front windows is Toka's brother. He's just like, all right, enough of this fucking talking shit.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What's going on? Where's Rize?
He was on a second level the whole time just listening.
And he and Toka start going at it, and he's just like, he calls her his dumb sister.
Yeah.
My dumb peace-addicted sister. He calls her weak.
Yeah.
Who we've seen Toka, like, pretty much given everybody the business in every fight so far. And
she's done very well in the fights.
Ain't nothing weak about her that we've seen this.
No, and it makes pretty quick work of her. But while they're while they're talking and having this conversation, fucking Jason and Nico, this other dude, come in the door, and they're just like, all right, I know we were supposed to wait for a certain cue, but, you know, we're like, everybody's converging at this fucking coffee shop at once.
Yeah.
Only to, like, it's like they're all from the same organization at this point.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that, I'm sorry, Banjo does talk before everybody else gets in there, and he just kind of tells them about this organization that, you know, this group being ruled by the One-Eyed King, which we hear that in earlier episodes, there is another one-eyed ghoul that Mado was hunting this whole time.
Yeah.
He apparently is running this Aguirre Tree organization. It's the organizing all the ghouls together, and when they wound up in the 11th Ward, it was like, join us or die. Mm. So everybody's like, well, I guess we'll join up then.
Yeah.
But they're organizing to take out the CCG and take out humans and just take over outright, seems to be. And, I mean, Banjo's not about that, but there's a lot of other people, like this Jason guy and, like, Toka's brother, that are totally on board and seem to be, like, all about it. So when they show up and they're looking for Rize too, Jason is immediately spots Kaneki as well. It's just like, oh, you smell like somebody I do not like.
Yeah.
And
then he loses his fucking mind.
Yeah,
he does. He Kaneki gets he gets Kato'd here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say.
This is the Kato moment, right?
Is this the Kato moment?
Yes. Of course.
So,
this is solidified stamp to where we might change Kato to Kaneki.
I still give it to Kato, but goddamn.
Oh,
he
my
was getting
God.
Smacked.
More. Like, damn.
This guy's tough. Like,
yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
Yo, he's not dead.
Yeah, because I thought, like, he was about to pull his face away, like it was going to be mush or something like that. But he's still relatively still held together, even though
he
got stabbed through the stomach.
It's like, he has spunk. Ha! And he just fucking paints that whole coffee shop with his blood.
Dog, he just smashed his face against
the
counter.
It was unnecessary. He's like, you already had him in capture.
I don't know if they have, they have an uncut version. They have two versions of the
show. I watched
the
uncut version.
Yeah, the uncut version is
it's
wicked.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was
fucking wicked.
Maybe I'm watching the cut
maybe
version.
So, like, in the movie version, it was just like, they showed him slam his head like twice, and then after that, I was just like the sound effects of it.
And and they also like when there's a lot of violence, they'll like cover up half the screen in like black or something.
Or they
like that,
changed it, like make it a negative color.
No,
it's the uncut version is.
Yeah, they didn't show a whole bunch, but they were showing him getting smashed a little bit, and you saw blood going everywhere.
Yeah,
the uncut version, wicked.
Definitely saw that. So Toka tries to stop them from just beating the absolute dog shit out of Kaneki, but. She's just outmatched, outnumbered, outclassed. Like, nobody's helping her out. Like,
and Kaneki was a bitch again because he didn't defend himself.
No, he didn't.
He didn't give it. He didn't have a chance. Well, he did. He tried. It just didn't work out too well for him.
Right, because she's just because they're like, all right, well, I guess we're kidnapping this one. And Toka's just like, what do you mean kidnapping? Like, where are you going with him? And she tries to stop him, but they run her through, and there's nothing she can say about it.
Yeah.
And Yoshimura and Yomo come through like a little bit later. The fact they open up the door, there's like no expression on their face. Like, yep, this looks about right.
Yeah.
They like look over to see Toka like bleeding out on the floor. They're just like,
and then the
okay.
the Jason dude, he's on at the end of his rampage. He end up punching his boyfriend or whoever it is, his partner.
Oh yeah, that
oh, yeah,
Nico
like,
dude.
And she's like, he's like, oh, wait till later.
yeah, that was wait. A lot. He's like, hey, baby, just
wait,
calm down.
Just calm down. Save that for later. I'm like, he got homeboy, the gourmet dude, beat. They like,
oh, it's not even close.
it's
oh, yeah.
not even close.
The gourmet dude, to me, seems flamboyant.
Yeah.
This dude is full on. Like,
I don't
know.
I think they're about the same level for me because the gourmet dude.
Let him
sniff Kaneki's blood. You tell me where he goes.
Yeah. he does go a little
overboard. Yeah,
he
does go overboard, yeah.
I'm just saying, this guy was like very subtle about it. He was like, hey, baby, for later. Like, the guy with like Kaneki's blood is like, oh, this melody, you know.
Yeah, he's over the top. He's over the top. So Yoshimura and Yomo show back up, and they're just like, well, I guess we're going to have to close up shop for a little bit. We need to clean up on aisle everywhere. this is messed up. So they call him a meeting with all the people they have on staff. They're just like, all right, get everybody together. We got to discuss what we're going to do about this whole 11th
The old man's
shit.
Approach to this meeting was interesting.
Like, it was just funny, too, because he was like, his two first thoughts, we got to clean, we got to close down, and we need to call a meeting. Like, there was no urgency in
well,
in
I mean,
anything.
I think as a person who has to be in a position of leadership quite often, I personally find that whenever something really serious happens, that is without question the best attitude to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's going to be people
that
freak out. And that's normally what I end up being is that person, as Rob probably can attest to, is in the times of storm and conflict, I'm normally the one that's just like, all right,
we're
here now.
If the boss is freaked out, that's going
to
change everything.
Yeah. That's the same thing, too. That's what I can work to when people come up to me like, you calmed me down because you didn't
Yeah,
react.
So I think he did the right thing.
Like,
so he calmly was just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Let's shut it down. Let's talk about it.
But they got everybody together. Everybody we've met so far. You got Yomo in there. You've got Itori. You've got, or not Itori, but the other dude that makes the mask. What's Uta? Shows up.
I like him.
You got Toka. You got Hanami. Everybody.
I got
there.
Excited seeing all these people pull up.
Like, I thought that was pretty cool too.
I was like, all right, let's fucking go.
I was like, it's going down. Yeah. I just thought a Selly Sales song is going down tonight.
Yeah.
And he's just like, listen, we all have to. We would all be better served. Yoshimura's just like, we'd all be better served. I was just assuming at this point. We're never going to see Kaneki again. And immediately everybody's just like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, we got to go get him. Fuck you, Yoshimura. And he's like, whoa, you didn't let me finish.
Yeah.
We're going to go get him.
I feel like he changed his mind. I feel like this motherfucker changed his mind.
I just wanted to see what you were going to say.
Exactly.
Everybody's like, well, I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to go. He's like, wait, hold on, guys.
Just so you know what I was going to say.
Yeah. I was like,
we're going to go.
Like, you hit him with the bamboozle, you liar, motherfucker.
I don't No, he. I feel like he was with the shits. I feel like that was his plan all along.
Nah.
Because he does say, like, all right, like, I'm glad you guys are so on board with this, because I got somebody else in the other room that wants to help. And the gourmet, Tsukiyama, walks in. He's just like, I'm here to help. Ain't nobody getting a bite out of Kaneki except me.
He's mine. You may have had him once, but I got him all the time.
That's a song. Yeah. Mocha stuff. Yeah.
So that.
So Toka fucking loses it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, well, what the fuck? But I mean, at this point, they need all the help they can get.
Yo,
because
wait, how did you survive that ass whooping I put on? Right.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, he explained it. She was like, he was like, I took your advice. He, like, when she pretty much put him on death's bed, he's like, eat yourself. And he's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I wasn't that bad. Yeah. I had a couple bites. That got me back to where I needed to be. And
I'm delicious.
Just, yeah, as you guys know, I'm pretty good.
I low-key was hoping that he was stuck. I was like, there's no way. They built him up to be dope. And I was like, they can't get him out of there in 5 or 6 episodes. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So I knew he was coming back at some point.
I mean, you said that shit about, like, Ned Stark, too. But
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, y'all haven't seen it, right?
So thanks for your fucking ruining
you don't even know what that
Game
means.
Of Thrones.
You literally don't even know what that
means. Wow.
I don't know what it means, so I was just like, I would have completely forgotten.
I'm happy. I'm happy. I know. If you don't get it, you don't get it.
I plan on watching it. Now I know.
What do you know?
Wow.
What do you know?
I would have literally forgot this name by the time I watched Game of Thrones.
Exactly. That's my point.
I didn't know where it was.
It's been like 10 years, all right?
Yeah, that's not a spoiler, guys.
Low key, I thought it was a Star Wars reference when you first said it. I was just like, because Rob was wearing the sweater on, it just came out. I was like, it's a Star Wars reference.
No, it's not quite. It's a Game of Thrones reference. But
see, I knew that.
But at the same time, it's like Rob said, you're 10 years, like this is the first season. Like, I don't care. 10 years ago. 10 years ago, man.
I get you being like, this is your fault at this point.
Statue of limitations.
I get it.
Yeah, I can talk about that shit freely. You can go suck a ghoul.
Suck a ghoul?
So, but they basically have to wait a week before they're ready to roll out because they want to disguise their attack under the chaos of the CCG going in as well. So Kaneki's on his fucking own for about a week.
Yeah.
And we kind of get a touch of that like throughout these next couple episodes, but I think we'll just get to all that last.
Yeah.
So this next episode starts on the eve of the battle. Like, the 11th Ward's all been, you know, evacuated. Everybody's gone. It's just the
ghouls. They're making press conferences.
Yeah, the CCG is rolling up. They got, you know, their riot trucks all loaded up. Everybody's got their vests on. Amon's got his new King K ready to go. Mm-hmm.
What a vest gonna do when I aim for the head? Come on, man.
Yeah. The other thing is, I'm just like, because everybody rolls up with, like, guns, and they're ready to go on the ghouls. And I'm just like, do guns really do anything against ghouls?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. Yes, they do. Yeah. I guess they're effective.
Yeah.
So they end up they're getting ready to roll out. They got the press conference going, and Hide is watching the news. And this is another reason where I'm just like, he has to know Kaneki is a ghoul, because he's just like, Kaneki, just I know something's going on. Just call me. And he's saying to himself, like, just let me know you're okay.
Yeah.
So he must know Kaneki's a ghoul, and he's just like, I just do what you got to do, man. Just let me know that you're okay.
Yeah.
All the guys from the coffee shop are ready to go. The battle lines are drawn at this point. You've got ghouls like lining up in the buildings that ready to shoot down at them, and that have got like really weird kagunes that are just like
shields.
Like shields and stuff. Which is also what makes me think
ready to shoot. Yeah.
Which makes me think there must have been some big like war conflict to the point where they're just like, oh, they got sniper ghouls up there, and just like that there's specific classes of ghouls that are meant for battle in a modern context. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. Yeah.
So. They end up, you know, kind of shooting out at each other, and it's a standstill, really.
The ghouls are winning.
The ghouls, if anything, they're
whooping ass.
They are whooping ass.
Without even, like, with their, like, shooting.
Just shooting
them.
At them.
Yeah, they're not even using their kagunes.
And the captain is just like, I'm tired of this shit! Let me shoot out here with a fucking gun!
Yeah, he was a boss. He grabbed the gun and was
forward.
Like, cat. That is how you shoot.
Without shield, no shield.
No,
nothing.
He just stood
up
and did it. Took out three of them and just threw the gun back. Like, y'all shoot like
and
that
then
now.
And then walked back like nothing. This was like, man, all right, get it done now, motherfucker. If you saw how it was done, get it done.
Meanwhile, Jozu steals the captain's bike, and they're just like, "Hey, Jozu's got your bike, captain." He's just like, "Where are you going with that?" He's like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm just gonna borrow it." Zooms up the fucking steps, like crashes through the window. Bike explodes underneath him. He like launches himself. You just see he launches himself into the middle of all that shit, and you just see like the muzzle flashes as he's just like, you know, laying
he's
dudes
like
down,
spinning, ooh, dancing, spinning around, cutting people's heads off. Like,
did they not show that part in yours?
I mean, they did. Okay. Like, he was just like, he jumps in there and it's just like,
he lights up everybody. Yeah. He kills a lot.
They showed him cutting people's heads off and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That shit was hard. He was like fucking doing 360s and shit.
That's when I was like, hard. I knew it. I fucking knew this dude was dope.
Yeah, he's not fucking around. And even the boss is just like, all right, like he's crying because he just lost his bike.
That was a nice bike. I get
it.
It
was.
Like, that was unnecessary. Because
it was funny, they set it up too. They was like, sir, your bike has been hand-delivered here. And he's like, yes, okay, cool. He's like, wait, why the fuck is it here?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She was like, oh, I'm going to use it.
And at first, he didn't know how to ride it. She's like, oh, whoops. He's a jerk for that, but that was hilarious.
Yeah. But the ghouls, they have their forces are pretty stacked as well. Like they got everybody up on the rooftop. They're just like, all right, you're gonna guard this area. We got the Bin brothers going over here.
Yeah.
We got Toka's brother going over. Ayato heading over here. They split it all up.
Yeah.
And at the same time, all the people from the coffee shop are just like, okay, the attack's going off right now. Like, let's use this moment to sneak in.
My whole thing is one thing that kind of threw me off is like, how did they know what cloaks the ghouls were wearing? Like.
Yeah.
I was like, how the fuck y'all know what cloaks that they going to wear? And y'all, like, y'all not on their team. Like,
yeah.
They
must have, like,
off.
Just taken some people out, don't you think? Like,
I think that might have been what it was. Yeah.
They killed some ghouls on their way in and just like, all right, this is what we're wearing. But you see Yoshimura, Hanami, and Kaya are all, like, waiting outside, basically making the shot, calling the shots from the outside. They got the old man, and they got the little girl, like, you know, chilling. Like, they're not up in the shit. But, like, everybody else is running in. And you see Uta and, like, a bunch of the other guys, like, kind of run into some people, but you don't even really see their fight at all. Like, they kind of just set it up and then, like, go away from that just to see Toka running into Eamon. But he spots her immediately. He's just like, oh, what's the rabbit doing here? Like, he just assumes, you know, she's part of this whole thing and starts to chase after her. And she's like, I don't have time for this.
He thinks the rabbit killed his mentor when that is not the case.
Yeah. No, she did kill. She did kill Mato.
But it wouldn't have been like she was there for the fight, but she's not the one who really did it.
It was
Hanami.
Yeah,
Hanami's the one who really did it. She might have just done the finishing blow. But if Hanami wasn't there, then like
she was dead.
The rabbit wasn't the reason why he died.
Yeah.
Is my
true.
Point.
Yeah. No. I mean, he definitely has an axe to grind with her, and he's chasing her down, and she's just trying to lose him.
He's like, shit, he's serious right now.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, shit.
But she was like, why does he want me?
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Like, what are you talking about? Right. You should have fucking knew.
I did kill that guy. And she seems to have some guilt over killing Mato, too, especially because she saw that he had a wedding ring on. And like, a wedding ring on.
He has a family. Yeah. She flashbacks to her family days. And she's like, oh, I get it.
Oops.
What that is.
Oops.
But while she's running for him, from him, the Bin brothers swoop in, and they're just like, hey, who the fuck was that? Mm. But while they're kind of discussing that, Eamon pulls out his new Kinkei that he got from.
It's kind of dope.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And we see a little flashback there where another one of the early lessons that Mato taught him was just like, hey, you know, you can't like square up on even ground with these ghouls. Like they're physically stronger than you are. You have to level the playing field. And you do that
by
fighting dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, and this the episode opened with this shot.
Yeah, this one kind of started with like a little flash forward where he's just like, oh, what am I doing here? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he goes in to fight him and it seems like it's just like I'm almost like a repeat of the other one that he had, like a big stick, you know, big punching bag on a stick that he's whipping around. Mm. But then he splits it up into two and just like slices and dices the two of them up. They're just done.
And both of them are S-ranked because he's like...
They were dope.
Yeah.
They were coming through.
They had combos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Combo number three. Go.
Yeah.
We do get a little flash of Kaneki here. You know, we'll go a little bit more into his stuff in the next episode just because that one is very specifically about him. But we see that Banjo is... Kaneki's tied up somewhere, and he's definitely been getting tortured by Jason. But Banjo comes in and is just like, hey, man, like, I figured out I heard Rize's dead, and you just probably wanted to spare my feelings. So, like, you're a good dude, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to bust you out of here, man. Like, don't worry about it. Just try to take
so
this for now. I'm going to try to get you out of here. My friends are coming in. Like, if you got a message for me, just tell it to them. Like, we're gonna help you out.
It's fucked up. Like, they're pushing, like, puddles of blood. Like, you can hear them swooshing around his blood.
Yes.
Because he's getting tortured so bad.
Mm. Yeah. Meanwhile, the dude on the CCG with the hair piece is, you know, leading his team of his SWAT team up to the roof where they think the ghouls are waiting, but they get up there and there's nobody. Because
they're kicking ass.
They are getting through. Like, they're handling business.
Yeah.
They're Kinkeis, they're like, these must be just like the the ghoul grunts, and they there's no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, even though there's hundreds of them, you know.
Right.
So you see why these boxmen are so feared, you know, in the ghoul community. And they make it up to the roof, and seems like there's nobody up there first until some huge, imposing, like, figure basically lands on the roof with them, and they're just like, oh, it's the one-eyed owl, which that's got to be the king or somebody.
Yeah. I thought it was the old man.
It could be the old man, I guess.
Well, because they kind of referenced him, like, they knew who he was.
Because the old man did, because he was like, damn, I got to go do something to buy them some more time.
And he opens his eyes for the first time.
So that's what I was saying. Like, I thought it was the old man. You know, I was like, that was the only thing that would make sense to me. It's like, he's been around for a long time, which means he'd be a legend, so he's known.
Yeah.
We haven't seen what he could do yet, and when he shows up, people are like, oh, shit. Like, I thought it'd be the old man.
I could totally see that. The only reason I thought it wasn't is because they called him the One-Eyed Owl, and we already know that whoever is leading this Agori tree is the One-Eyed King.
Yeah.
Right. So I
still think... Still could be the old man.
I mean, I don't know how many
Unless
One-Eyed ghouls are running around.
But he gonna run an organization and go against it at the same time, though, so it's like...
I mean, we've seen Aizen, you know what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah. I mean,
does anybody get that reference? Okay,
no,
I'm sorry.
Nobody
seen Bleach?
No.
Nah.
Oh, wow.
I watched good anime.
Emperor and
Star
Wars prequels. Playing both sides, so I always come out.
He's about to come out on Bleach? You about to have a lot of people coming for you.
Yeah, I've never seen Bleach enough.
But to get our greatest anime podcast turned the fuck around.
Yeah, if you start hating on Bleach,
no rep now.
Nobody.
I mean, you hating on Naruto, it's the same shit.
Eh.
No,
there's a lot of people who don't like Naruto.
Bleach is not even top three. When you think about great anime and like
but you don't really know.
I'm just basing off of what I see. Nobody says Bleach is top 3.
Yeah, but you live in like an echo chamber.
It's not. I follow all the pages you follow, if not more. And everybody, you
just
even
love
somebody
it when he says that. When
somebody,
he's like, if not more, I know more than you. If
it's not.
More.
No, it's not. I know more. It's
but
just
wait,
like I look at
more.
It. Look, and people just posted a post in our chat about like the top three MCs, and people don't even.
Naruto was always in a.
Yeah.
It's literally. The base of like how people be like, yo, Dragon Ball.
Look, I already
Naruto.
Went through my entire reasoning for Naruto.
And people would bring up Luffy before they bring up One Piece before they bring up Bleach.
I'm ignorant to One Piece, so.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Facts!
No, so, I mean,
illogical, these nuts.
Oh, he's still so mad. I mean, only reason I'm not going there is because it's a lot. It doesn't.
It's okay.
We're already at an hour. That's the only reason I'm not going to go on YouTube, so.
Well, we can get through the rest of this pretty quick. The next episode, I mean, not that not a lot happens, but it's all internal. But this whole thing ends with, you know, that it could be the old man. It very well could be. The only reason I'm just like, maybe it's not, is we didn't see whether or not he was one-eyed. We only got to see him from the profile. So we only see the one eye, I guess. But
he is huge.
And he is huge, and he is decked out in, like, armor and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
And the commander that's, like, calling the shots is just like, yo, just you and, like, your best men that are ready to die, stay. Everybody else get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Because nobody's about to win this fight.
Yeah.
Like, basically, it's been a pleasure serving with the rest of you, but you're all done.
That's it. He said that he actually said the less amount of people, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're only getting away.
Pretty much. Toka, meanwhile, is trying to get through to find Kaneki, but she runs into her brother, Ayato, who throws out a volley of those, like, crystal shards at her, but Nishiki takes the blow for her and is just like, all right, like, I took the damage for you, you know, thanks for helping me out that other time. You know, we're even, and just, like, let's get this fight going. But all that gets basically side-tabled for this last episode, which is all about Kaneki and the absolute hell he's been living through. So... apparently, whenever they get Kaneki back to their base, they show him off to their leader, and the leader's like, "Ah, we don't need him, and let's Jason just have him."
Yeah.
So Kaneki's been locked up in this place for about a week,
bro.
And we find out that this guy Jason, when we're hearing the police report about him, he had before he was known as Jason, he had been captured as a ghoul, and he had been tortured by some fucked up dude in the CCG, and we find out that caused his personality to split into snap, and that's how he became Jason. And now he's using the same torture on all these other victims.
And he's the Jason from the movies, right?
He wears the Jason mask.
And everything like that. Yeah, he was like,
That's why they
he
call
took
him.
On
I'm
Jason.
Sure that's why they call him Jason, though, because of the mask, just like they call rabbit mask.
In the English version, they pretty much say that. They pretty much say, like, he got it from the Jason.
He took on the persona of the dude that was torturing him.
Because he says, he's basically. Well, they say that he doesn't even just kill to eat. He kills just for fun, too, which is why he's such a huge problem and that they've been tracking him this whole time.
He got swole. Like, he was super skinny.
Yeah.
He He was just like, that's not happening to me again once he got out of prison. He was listening to some weights. So what he's basically been doing to Kaneki, we find out through the course of the episode, is he's just day after day telling Kaneki to count backwards from 1,000 to zero by sevens. Which is fucked up. That's the only way he can keep his sanity. Meanwhile, he's chopping off every finger and toe he has over and over again.
Bro.
Letting it grow back, you know, giving him that respite, and then, like, putting centipedes in his ears. And,
he's like the red, what do you say, the Chinese?
Chinese red-headed centipedes.
Just bad, bad,
bad shit.
Is that
a real thing?
I think so.
I'm sure.
So, Kaneki, meanwhile, is having this internal, while this is all happening to him, having this internal debate where he's just
definitely
like,
a real thing.
He'd always been. Oh, you got a picture.
The redheaded centipede is. Oh man,
poisonous.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Venomous.
Yeah, the venomous Chinese redheaded centipede contains a small peptide toxin which increases activity in the ion channel, causing localized burning pain. The crude venom is said to be toxic in mice and induce platelet aggression. In addition, other 26 other neurotoxins belonging to 10 different groups of peptides have been identified. Jesus. 2018, Chinese scientists found an antidote for the painful poison. It took him until 2018 to figure out.
2018?
Like that's yesterday.
Recent.
That's very recent. That's
like, so while this show is being made, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because this came out in 2014.
Yeah, he said it. He said it's like there's pretty much just nothing. Like, once this happens.
And it looks like it's on the.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck. This is fucking this rat. Oh.
Thank you, Keenan. I had not the hand strength to
get
that.
That is bad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's Nice is showing me a video list? Of
it's fucking his mice up. Ooh. Mouse, excuse me.
Yeah, that's that is no good.
Oh yeah.
So meanwhile, he's having Kaneki is trying to go away into his happy place while this is all going on. You know, counting down from his sevens and just trying to like, you know, retreat into his own psyche to keep his sanity. And while he's in there, he's been having conversations with Rize, who's just like, you know, basically all your decisions and inaction and, you know, peace-nicking and all that, like, this is what got you here. And, like, if you don't man up and do something about it, like, all your friends are going to die, too.
Let me tell you something. I fuck with her speech.
I was like,
you a bitch. You a sucker out here. You soft. And your mom's logic made you soft.
Yeah.
Because I forgot what his mom said to him.
Well, we find out his mom didn't die as early as we were kind of led to believe, but that she basically worked herself to death because she had this no good sister, which my headcanon is that is Yusuke's mom. So yes, Kaneki and Yusuke are cousins in my head going forward. But, you know, basically he had this aunt that was a drunk and didn't work. And so Kaneki's mom worked herself to death to provide for her and give her all this money so she didn't have to. And eventually
Yusuke?
She just. Yeah, from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because his mom's a fucking deadbeat
yeah.
mom, just sits home drinking, watching TV all day.
Trash mother.
She dies doing that, and she's just like, your mom died and left you alone because she wasn't strong enough to cut her sister off and be like, no, get a fucking job.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, be
they
somebody.
They have her walking away with the money, like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah, and Kaneki finally breaks down because his whole mantra at this point has been like, oh, it's better for me to get hurt than others, which is like kind of noble but stupid, you know, and it ends up everything that has happened and what could happen, you know, he sees visions of, you know, Toka dying, you know, Hanami and Hide and all those people getting killed because of his inaction and all these people like, you know, suffering because of him. And finally he breaks and he kind of like charges Rize, his vision of Rize, and devours her, kind of like embracing his inner ghoul. And like he not only mentally changes, but physically changes.
Yeah, she was
his hair turns totally white. Because
she said something like, yo, let me kind of like, let me take over. If you let me do this.
I was so impatient for this whole part of this episode.
I get you.
Because it's like the white background
thing,
him being tortured. It took
stupid.
It took so long for him to transfer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it felt like Goku going Super Saiyan, like watching Dragon Ball Z the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, it literally was like, I'd say two-thirds.
Blow up in 5 minutes.
Two-thirds of an episode. So something like 14 minutes of him being tortured.
Oh, yeah.
Him going back and forth.
And then that couple, too, Banjo's fucking friends that had been helping him. Like,
I like that part, though.
Jason figures out that he's got these two people that are helping him, and he's just like, all right, like, I'm going to kill one of them. You get to pick, or I'll
kill
both of them.
He's obviously going to kill both of them either way.
Yeah. I mean, they had to be the Krillin in this situation.
Yeah. I like the suspicion.
Go, pretty much they were.
Getting there.
Pretty much
I mean,
I like that, though. I like that, like, how that, like, the direction on this whole anime has been dope, and I like that part because it's going back and forth, and then the score, like the music turned up, and he's like, choose, like you got to fucking choose, and they're like,
I had the funniest like revelation while I was listening to you talk about your rating last time. Ice, it was so funny because it's like, Ice, what's your rating? And then he proceeded to give literally nothing but compliments about it. And then he was like, 6,200. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do you get so low when all you have is compliments? And just now he's like, yo, the direction of this show. And I'm like, when we walked in here today, one of the things we talked about was like, yo, obviously Ice didn't do his research on what we were about to watch because I feel like the show doesn't even start until now. And so, like, even, like, the last fight of this wasn't that great because it was playing during, like, the outro music. And it was, like,
it wasn't the intro music.
But it honestly wasn't cut that well because you couldn't really see what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, it was just.
I mean,
I think it was cut terribly, just so you know. I feel like that fight could have been really dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't watch it again because it felt like I was, like, getting, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't.
They did
it was
it
hard
the
to follow
out,
the action.
The out credits, I thought that was. It was cool. It was a risk, and it, I don't think it played out well.
Out credits.
So, yeah, like you were saying,
music,
the direction.
The
fantastic.
Music, the intro music.
But no, I was saying that specific part and then pieces throughout the show from a direction sense, where especially doing something that's horror related, I thought it was pretty dope. I just think that.
That was a very visceral moment.
Yeah.
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 I think Escaping Neverland's a better horror show than this.
Yikes.
We're going to say you're rating for last then.
Have you seen Escaping? Have any of you guys seen
that
show?
I have not seen
that. Okay. It's an anime?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, I mean, that could
Jackson.
Be a horror.
Like, yeah.
No. There's an anime it's called Escaping.
Okay, never mind. Fuck your rating.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, that's basically what happens is he changes totally. And Jason, at that point, Jason is just like, oh, so, you know, I'm pretty much done with you. I'm going to eat you up. Like, it's been a, you know, pleasure working with you. And Kaneki snaps the fucking his handcuffs, his chains, and finally fights back against Jason, starts choking him out.
Right, I was wrong. The Promised Neverland. I apologize. Yeah. The name of the show is The Promised Neverland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were recommending that a few times in the group chat a while ago.
I'll probably check it out.
I've been watching it. I'm on episode 9 right now. It's hard.
Is it done?
I think season 1 is done.
Oh, I'm not watching it.
All I'm saying, I mean, I'm not done with season 1 though. Mm-hmm. So like for me, all I'll say is that this has been one of the most emotionally compromised I've felt about watching an anime.
Is this the one with they're orphans or something like that?
Yeah.
I like shit with orphans in it.
I didn't say I liked it.
I watched
I said
the trailer
I
was
emotionally
and I was like,
compromised.
Anime's got a lot of orphans though.
Yeah. No, it's anime does have that. Mm. But I was I'm not saying like I said, normally I binge watch something. I cannot binge watch this show. I emotionally can't handle it.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I cannot binge watch this show.
I'm gonna binge watch it.
Yeah, because a lot of people. I forgot who it was, but pretty much like I felt like a good 6-7 people, maybe more than
Neverland,
that.
I'm
they were recommending that in a group chat.
I'll tell you, like if you, I
like that shit though.
I will legit be impressed if you can seriously just like sit and binge it. And there's a lot of reasons why I can't. Like I'm just like I watch like one or two episodes at a time.
I mean, if
it
got goblin raped,
yeah,
that
actually,
should be good.
I was even having a conversation. I'll give a shout out to this guy. I'm gonna fuck up your username. Man, it's Andrew Sampoma. We were going back and forth. He was giving me a hard time because I don't like Bakugo that much. But we had a good talk. We were cool about it. But he also said like, oh, you guys should watch Promised Neverland next.
Yeah.
So people are liking it.
Been recommending a lot.
I would recommend that for us to watch. We would have a lot to talk about.
I'm sure.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
So anyway, just to wrap this up. Kaneki breaks out of the chair and starts choking out Jason, and they start to have a fight. Jason breaks out his Kagune and like impales. Kaneki, but he's gone to another level at this point. He's not even fucking worried about it. Basically punches through this guy's attacks and like
and he breaks his own ankle and leg.
Kaneki activates his Kagune and starts like, you know, tearing him up, starts cutting him down, and he goes in for a kick and Jason catches it and he twists his own fucking leg around to break free of it. He's like, after what you just did to me for like the last week, like you think that hurts?
I mean, that's just, you brought out a beast, bro. This is your fault.
Yeah, right. He made a monster.
Your death is your fault, fam. This is on you.
Absolutely
you
it is.
That was probably the dopest part of the whole show.
And he pins Jason to the ground and has him start counting down from 1,000 by sevens. And he's just like, you know, you were about to eat me, so I'm just going to return the favor. And like leans down to eat him. And that's a wrap on season one.
Which kills me because there's so many other things happening right now that were unresolved in a lot of different ways. Like all the fights happening around them, people invading the whole entire base, like three different factions going at each other at the same time.
Such a weird place for the
I don't know what happened.
So many cliffhangers.
So Ice, obviously, when it comes to like looking at the research in the sense of like you recommended this show, You did not look at what we were going to watch.
No, I think I went back on when I looked at it initially. Like, when I watched it initially, like Kenan, I watched it all in one moment. But I'm saying, like, I didn't look. I saw it, but I was like, I'm too far.
No, I'm saying, though, it's like you didn't look and say, we're going to watch one season of this. Let me see where that one season ends, like where the line
is. I knew it. I was just hoping nobody caught it. That's pretty much. Because we were, like, when I looked at it, because Kenan said something, and then when I realized, like, Rob was the only person that caught where it was at, I was like, I'm going to just let it ride, and hopefully nobody catches it. But then Rob caught it last week, and I was like, fuck me.
Well, I was asking about it, because after this episode, I was just like, oh, shit, like, I wonder where it goes from here. And then I was just like, I tried to scroll down, but it didn't go anywhere. I'm like, that's, oh, shit, like, that's the end of the season.
That also would have caught you for two animes. I'm like, you don't get another go-around. you knew you didn't say anything, I'm like, you don't get a go-around until, like, our next one after that.
Yeah, Ice, you
tough but fair.
But we, but no, because everybody who y'all been doing somehow, somebody had a 26 episode.
It don't matter.
Anime.
So what?
Sorry,
that's the first season we picked. you knew you let go to season two. But anyways, so how you guys feel about this anime, man? Rob, how you feel?
It's okay for me. I don't love it. If we ended up like, there's a part of me that's like, If I'm on my own, I'm not picking this back up. Mm. But I wouldn't be mad if we watched season two of this, like, along the way. Like, whether it was somebody else's pick or an audience pick, people are like, let's go back to Tokyo Ghoul.
Wait, I'd see we it. Still consider audience picks?
Possibly. Okay,
I'm sorry.
If they're good.
Yeah.
But all that to say, I think I would be interested in watching season two only because I feel like the show is going to be so different going forward. Like, this whole season was kind of a setup to get to the real show that will be season two and beyond. That's my feeling based off of watching this,
which is fucking amazing, just for the record.
The next couple seasons?
The second season, the third season, it's a different show. They changed the show. It's like a different, it's like it turns into like basically Dragon Ball GT.
Whole different main character, everything.
Yeah, everybody's gone. Like Kaneki's gone, everybody's gone, and that doesn't ruin nothing because they have y'all watched The Watchmen on HBO.
I haven't watched it.
It's kind of like that where it's like they live it. Thing. Yeah, it's a different, but like it's in a different, like the Watchmen are still there in a sense, but it's other stuff is transpiring.
I get you. Okay. So this stretch of episodes, I think I gave a 5,500 last time.
Yeah.
I probably give this like a 58, just because it's like seeing them all in the meeting room and, getting ready to go in. I was like, all right, like I was hyped for that. It was cool to see all those characters get together. I would just wish we got to see more of that, like towards the end, because they set up all these fights and then you didn't really get to see them for the most part. And overall for the series, I'm probably going to give it a 5,500 overall. Okay, and that's me.
I want to see you two last, I guess. Mine, it was okay. I'm with Rob on this. I'm most likely not watching this again unless it's us. This is not an anime I would recommend either because the type of style it is. I have to ask somebody, like, what are you into? If that's what you want, like, as a starter anime, I can never be like, yo, this would be dope for you to watch. This is not that type of anime.
No.
It's like, this is something that somebody's like, I'm into kind of gory stuff. Tokyo Ghoul is probably for you. I forgot what my rating was, but 54, the last four episodes. I give this stretch right here, I give it about 55. And I give the whole show around a 54, 55. Because it's just like, it didn't, like you said, it turned up too late. Mm-hmm. Only characters that I like is, I mean, honestly, I like, Toku's brother was dope. I wanted to see him. The best episode was that episode. The episode, I guess, before the last one.
11. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 11, yeah. That was my favorite episode.
I agree with that.
Everything that's about the show, just like, I don't give a really fuck about. It's okay. How you feel, Brandon?
I feel like this is definitely the Bakugo pick of anime. Is because you rush into it head first, imagining the whole big picture, and don't really look at
Brandon
what's
with the
gonna
fucking
be.
Callback on why he picked.
So maybe that's the name of the episode, the Bakugo pick of anime.
No,
But I mean, I really think it is. It's like you didn't really look. You didn't slow down. He didn't slow down. He didn't think about what it is that our experience was going to be in the sense of like what episodes we're going to see and how far we're going to get. Because like I told you guys before, I think this anime does have potential. Like I think he might be right about season two. That season two might be incredible.
Might go ham, yeah.
But season one was not. Season one moved slow. I think they did a good job of world building. I'll say that. I think the world building was good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the animations were good. I think the fights were always too short. And specifically, the biggest fight of the season was not good. It was cut the worst out of all the fights so far in the entire whole season. It was like I was like really upset watching it. I'm just like, I want to actually see this fight. Where's the wide shot? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't see anything because everything was just so close. It's like, it was almost like their budget got cut off right at the end. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to push everything into this one last episode because they didn't even know if they were going to get a season two.
Yeah, which you should use your budget for, like, the biggest fight, best fight scene.
Yeah, and they didn't. Yeah. I had a really hard time with that. I know I wasn't here for the last four episodes. I did watch them, and I did listen to the podcast. In the first four episodes, I rated it 5,000. I think I would have rated the next four episodes probably, like, 5,200. Yeah, I just have a hard time. Like, normally, like, it's one of the things that's really the two things that I feel like really define anime. The biggest one for me was just not anime, which is everything in general. Is I love antagonists. Mm-hmm. And this show doesn't really deliver when it comes to antagonists. Like, who we point at? You know,
they would have stuck with old boy.
That guy. He was a good one for a short period.
Yeah, he was.
But this show doesn't have a defined antagonist. It's just like, okay, is it the MCC? But they're kind of like walking the line between bad and good. You know, and it's just like there isn't really a bad guy or something that you could point at and say that motherfucker right there is going to come at you. Like even Jason, it's like, oh, maybe it was him, but he pretty much dies in the last episode in the most anticlimactic fight ever. You know, so for me, I'm like, this show doesn't have like a main character that's amazing. It doesn't have a main antagonist that's amazing. And the only thing that I think it did really, really well was the world building, because I like the world of ghouls. I like it. I like that we can make the jokes that Rob is a ghoul because it seems convincing, because they make it seem like this is a possible thing that is actually around right now. Like, they actually do a good job of making you feel kind of like the feeling when you watch the very first Spider-Man from our generation, the Tobey Maguire one, where he gets bitten by, you know, a spider and becomes Spider-Man, and it's a good movie, so it was at the time at least.
Yeah, it was.
And now you go outside. I remember going outside afterwards, but I want to find a spider and get bit right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of a thing. Whereas for
nobody thought that.
But me and my brother both did that, as well as the friends that we went out with. But either way, you go ahead. Look, you got some explaining to do, so you go ahead and come at me all you want, but you can go ahead.
I don't have no explaining you with Samurai Shampoo and all your nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. So in my score totally for cool, this is going to be, I'm just going to get, I liked where the show was possibly going to go. We're going to go with 5,400 in total for the whole first season for me. Okay. So I don't like it. I think it can get better. I don't hate it. It's extremely average. It does some things well. It does a lot of things not well. It feels like they dropped the ball with a lot of opportunity is what it feels like.
Okay. Yeah, so for me, like I said, when I said it was an anime that I liked, I love horror stuff. This was my first really run in with any type of horror anime. And in
Deep
2014,
in yourself.
And when I went in 2014 when I watched it as a whole, and I just really enjoyed it, and I still
you say
stand
as a
by.
Whole or as a hoe?
As a whole, why
you said hoe? I mean, Brendan, this is
as a whole.
Yeah,
as a whole, I enjoyed it. And then just an experience for me was super dope. I think for me, I just wanted to, you know, test it and see. And I'm not like Brendan that's gonna stand by some bullshit like he did with Samurai Champloo. I agree 100% with what everybody said about the first season. It is like middle of the road, and I can't turn a blind eye to how it is. I think. I just got caught up in nostalgia and didn't really look at like what it was in a, like that the two season thing that it how it broke down like that. Mm. But I stand by the second season firmly because it was just a dope show. The second season is amazing. The way that people get after it, the way Juzo get after it, like I even said it in my top five. Juzo is one of my favorite characters. He's one of my favorite anime characters overall, just because how he goes about things and how he's with the shits.
Yeah.
It's an amazing show in that second season. I do hate the fact that they waited to turn everything up the last four episodes. I think the last episode is kind of a depiction of how the whole show is. Like the first, you know, two thirds of the show is just him doing that, you know, trying to figure it out. Yeah. Then the back third, they really get after it. And that's like the whole show. And I was kind of upset, you know, watching it. But like I said, I'm not like Brennan and just going to try to stand by it. Like I'm right there with you guys. I would say overall, I mean that stretch of episodes, I would give like a 58, 59. I think my score last week was a little bit high. Overall for the show though, for this first season, not for the show, but for this first season, I'm gonna sit like a 58, 5,800 for the show.
I will say that I respect Ice for pretty much saying like okay, because yeah, I definitely agree with Brennan when you say you jumped head first definitely into it and not like even like scanning back through. But I respect you saying like yeah, it was some nostalgia, but you stand by season two.
Yep.
I respect that. I respect that rating. And I think we're all around the same.
Yeah.
Another average anime, guys, down the train.
That's a win, though. That's not like.
I mean, if you're doing test scores, a 5 out of 9 pretty much is what it was.
A 6 out of 10.
That's a 6. What for him?
No, I'm saying like if like for me, I always base things like on a out of 100% like school. So like we're basing everything on a 9,000.
It'll be a 6 out of 10. So it'll be a 6 out of 10.
60%. Be a D minus.
Pass.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, 55%.
5 divided by 9. 55.
So that's that's still that's a.
It'll be divided by 10 because 0 is a rating too.
Mm. Oh, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. You can rate a show 0.
Oh well, then yeah, I guess it is just a 5.
Yeah. A 6.
Yeah. Maybe a 6.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I mean, so that would be barely passing. Well, I mean.
Yeah, I think it passes.
I'll take a 1 and 2. Yeah. I'm 1 and 1 or 1 and
2. I mean, a D is not necessarily passing because you can't get a D and actually, a lot of times in college, they did. You got to get a C and above. But in this particular case, I guess it skates right. by barely.
Yeah, I didn't hate watching the show.
It's all right.
Yeah, yeah, I can't sit there and say this. It's not our basement. It's not,
it's not Goblin Slayer.
It's not Goblin Slayer. It's better than
Wait,
Goblin
Slayer. Who picked that?
Me. I picked it. Yeah, that was me. I stand by. And like I said, I'm not like you with Samurai Champloo and saying like,
well,
oh,
you know,
it's still great.
There is one major difference, though.
What?
Is that I wasn't here to watch Samurai Champloo with you. Champloo with you guys. So like,
true.
You had to sit here and actually be able to defend and work with and then be that part of it. Like, I haven't seen Samurai Champloo.
I mean, you could have, but you chose not to.
I was in the
to.
Jungle.
But
yeah.
But you
about?
Said you had time on your
I
hands.
Was in the jungle.
You could have.
I had no internet. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Skype in.
You could have.
FaceTime.
No.
You could have.
Oh, there it is. Exposed.
Yeah.
Fire up that, like, what? Radiation machine that you had in the jungle.
Oh, that you could have. I was like, that would have been, like, to watch one episode would have been, like, 2 days.
All crazy. Right, man. So we want to know what you guys think, man. What is your rating for these last 4 episodes? And what is your rating for the first season overall? Don't just not the rating for the whole show. Just rating for the first season overall. What y'all think, man? What you think of the anime? And would you kill your best friend, huh? If you had to, when it came down to it, because he might expose your ass. Would you kill your best friend? So let us know in the comment section,
tough
man.
Call.
Hit that like button, that thumbs up if you're on YouTube. Also, hit them 5 stars on all the podcast platforms.
One question: since we're talking about it, would you rather watch Tokyo Ghoul or Samurai Champloo?
Everybody's gonna say because of the length of the first season. There's only one season they're gonna pick. I would pick
so either,
one.
Either one.
I guess
one.
I would say Tokyo Ghoul because there's no like I don't, there weren't any filler episodes.
Cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to really watch too much of both again, but yeah, the reason why I would say Samurai Champloo was because I mean Tokyo Ghoul is because of the shorter episodes.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily because it's a full on better anime to me. It's because
I think Champloo had higher highs, but
right.
Tokyo Ghoul had a higher average, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And then since it's 12 episodes, like I said, if we cut down 12 episodes to Samurai Champloo, we said this a few times, Samurai Champloo might have been pretty, it would have been pretty fucking dope with the music.
But unfortunately, it was 26 muddle ass episodes. So Tokyo Ghoul is better than Samurai Champloo. Suck my dick. Anime Shun, the greatest anime podcast in the fucking world.
To us it is.
I disagree.
But I don't think the general consensus of people would agree with that.
Probably not.
I don't agree with it.
But yeah, go ahead and drop your stuff.
RV Danger on Instagram. You can find me there. Message me if you want to take umbrage with my opinions on fucking Bakugo or whatever.
He will argue with you to the death.
I mean, hey, I'll defend my points.
Nice.
I want to give a shout out to a couple people that's been trying to get into the chat. We're trying to figure it out. We got a 32 person cap on our chat right now.
Don't worry, some people can get dropped.
Yeah, we got some stuff coming just due to inactivity and some other shit. King Mike Hall, Dre Beats, Dragon Deuce, Dose. I'm sorry if I'm AO_Dre17. All you guys been hitting me up. Thank you guys. We've been having conversations, and just like Rob said, I'm always down to have like a side anime conversation about certain things. So and then shout out to our animation family. Without y'all, we would just be talking into a void and listening to Brennan's bitch ass tangents. And Ice McGowan, Ice.McGowan on Instagram.
Somebody's in their feelings. I'm at Mr. Producer Face. Happy holidays, everybody. I hope you guys enjoy and have safe, happy, good food, good family, good energy, good vibes.
This is our holiday edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the ugly Christmas sweater on.
Yeah, yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, he has the Star Wars, Darth Vader.
I find your lack of cheer disturbing. disturbs the force.
My stuff is Keenan Baker at everything on all social media platforms. Somebody told me to make a Discord for us because you can add way more people on Discord. It's literally for like group chatting.
Maybe.
I don't know about Discord too much, but we'll see. And now that would be.
I think I like the idea of us limiting it to 32 people. So it's like you got to earn your way in and earn your keep.
Yeah. Sound like some Brennan shit.
I'm just saying,
imagine 200 people in a group chat. I don't even read everything now. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way I'm going to, like, hundreds of people posting stuff all the time. Like, nah, like, 32 people is the limit.
It would get kind of crazy if we start letting everybody in. Because at a certain point, it's probably going to be kind of like a Patreon type thing where we are going to be limited into certain that unless you pay for like a Patreon type thing. But we thank all y'all for tuning in. We'll be coming back next week. I'm not sure we're going to do are we taking a week off and then coming back?
I think we'll probably take a week off.
Yeah.
I think we'll be taking a week off.
We deserve it.
It's the holidays, man.
Like,
holidays.
We're like 70 weeks strong or something like that. Like, yeah. We
should be going tough.
We won't come. We'll be back in February. Fuck.
Yeah.
No.
That's not happening. You'll be back in February. Shout out to Stickman.
Stickman Studios.
Shout out to Stickman.
Stickman Studios.
Yeah, Killer Cam. He's our sound guy here. And shout out to Transit Pictures for letting us always shoot here. This is Brennan's company, Rob's company. So
shout out to Tiny Dino.
I mean, shout out to Tiny Dino too.
Yeah. I got love for Tiny Dino.
I got love for Tiny Dino too. So we thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
Peace.
We out.